Marks and Reese, we are back. Larry Anderson. We haven't talked to L.A. since I believe he voted no on me being a Philly guy. Is that correct, Jack? Is that the last time we spoke to L.A.? Well, he's coming up at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, we didn't get his thoughts on the Eagles this season. I mean, listen, it's been a while since we talked to L.A.
It's been a while.
He usually gives takes on everything. So, yeah, I think it has been since is John Marks a Philly guy, which he voted
no.
No, he voted no. Are you gonna remind him of that? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yes, I was able to prevail anyway because I got some help from Pete from Chickies and Pete's. He voted yes, but LA's coming up at 4 o'clock. You know, the bullpen has been excellent so far, so we have a lot of things to talk to with Larry Anderson coming up here at 4 o'clock. Philly's lineup against the Mets. It's a PHL 17 game tonight.
That's a throwback.
It's also on ESPN, so I guess all the teams are playing. So NBC Sports Philadelphia and then the other channel that they have will be the Sixers and the Flyers. So the Phillies are on ESPN and PHL 17. So, Ike, we have some reserves in the lineup tonight. As Matt Joyce makes his first start of the season, he's leading off in left field.
Awesome.
Boehm will bat second, playing third base. Harper, Realmuto, Didi batting fifth. Gene Segura sixth. Brad Miller at first base bats seventh. Roman Quinn and then Chase Anderson pitching. So the Reese is sitting out tonight, and you have Miller at first base, and then you have McCutchen obviously not playing left field tonight. So
is this some type of lefty righty thing going on?
Well, yes, okay. Yeah. So Miller's a left-handed hitter, and Joyce is a left-handed hitter. So you figure, like, it makes sense to give McCutchen the night off. I mean, Hoskins shouldn't be tired already, but I worry about playing McCutchen 140 games. So I don't think it's a bad thing to get him out of the lineup for a left-handed bat. And Matt Joyce's splits against right-handers have been very good over his career. So, I mean, maybe this is a good lineup here. You get Miller, you get some hits out of Joyce and Miller tonight. I don't have a problem with it. Jack was complaining they're waving the white flag, but
well, it just feels a little early to give these guys a night off. I mean, I understand, like, it just feels too matchup-oriented. It's too worried about the matchup. Like, Reese against a righty, like a sinker ball righty, right. like Marcus Stroman. Like, let Reese go prove that he can't hit a righty, you know, like Marcus Stroman. You know, you don't need to give him a day off 4 games into the season,
right.
Especially the off day on Friday. So, really, they've only played 3 straight games.
And,
so,
and you got
another off day on Thursday.
Right.
I kind of agree with you, because here's the thing. I mean, you've won the first 4, so you actually have a little wiggle room where you can let Reese go out there and play. I can see if they were 1-3 and you're saying, no, we can't give away games. We need to do this matchup because it's in our favor. Well, what would also be in your favor if Reese could show that he can hit against this type of pitching, right? Like, that's going to benefit you in the long run as opposed to constantly pulling him out of the lineup.
Mm. Also, just, you know, you're riding high right now. You're feeling good about your team.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I understand you're going to lose games, but it feels like you're putting out your C lineup when you don't really have to put out your C lineup.
Also, I mean, I'm not going to necessarily say, oh, well, it's a day game tomorrow. It's a 4:05 start. So really it's 3 hours less if they were playing tomorrow night. So I didn't know if that had anything to do with them wanting to, you know, want to sit some of the veteran guys if there's a day game the following day, but it's a 4:05 start.
Also, no Alvarado tonight.
Yes. Who again, man? He is a wild ride, man. I thought he was gonna blow it last night, but he got it done. Mm-hmm. Don Herndon, some odd miles an hour.
Did you think the Alonzo ball was out in the ninth?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I was like, oh, there it is.
And Crucker thought the Didi ball was out in the bottom of the eighth inning. Mm-hmm. Runners on second and third. He ended up getting a sacrifice fly, but it just went off the end of the bat. But because it looked like coming off the bat, he really got a hold of it.
Wind was a little tricky.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was as bad as it was opening day, but I don't know. Listen, did Haseley speak about how he misjudged that ball? What did he say happened?
He didn't talk.
So I don't know if he – it sounded like it was hit harder, but that thing, that was a shallow pop-up. That thing wasn't deep at all.
No.
He was headed for the warning tracks before he realized that.
Yeah, I mean, it probably was swirling a little bit, but I don't mean.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know how bad it was, but yeah,
not that bad.
My God, he misjudged that one.
It's like he didn't see it come off the bat. He wasn't paying attention. I don't know, but Jacob DeGrom last night, he had 24 straight fastballs to begin the game, 24 straight in the same frame, 7 straight fastballs registered at least 100 miles an hour, 7 straight, including a 102 mile an hour four seamer that Didi blooped for a single. But man, was he is so good. And the Phillies are fortunate. They got him out of the game early. You got him in early in the season. So it worked into your advantage last night that they had to sit out that extra series. Otherwise, he probably pitches at least another inning, and maybe you're not able to get to the bullpen. All right, so Jack came up with a Meet the Mets montage. They fall apart in the bottom of the eighth inning. Here it is.
2-2. Swing and a foul tip hung on to by McCann, and that's a strikeout for out number three. Eighth of the night for Jacob DeGrom, who is on cruise control now. And we're headed to the seventh. Mets 2, Phils nothing.
Mm.
The Mets, meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets.
Well, tonight is opening day for the New York Mets, their first game of the season. And Jacob DeGrom pitched, well, like he usually does on opening day. But that's as deep as he goes. I guess Gabe Kapler thought he was done after a six. The lefty delivers, and the pitch hit him. It plunks him, and the Phillies are on the board. Miller home to score, and the tying run now moves to third base. There's a hard-earned RBI for Bryce Harper, his first of the year. Double play depth for the Mets. Here's the pitch. Swing and a ground ball deep in the hole. It's short. It's through. A base hit. The game is tied. They'll stop Hoskins at third as JT ties it up. With a single to left, it's 2-2 in the bottom of the eighth.
And all the Mets fans are feeling it right now.
Luke Reddy, the pitch. Swing and a ground ball hit towards third. Guillorme charges, has it, throws home, and it gets by McCann. Phillies lead. Here comes Harper. He'll score. Two across on the throwing error, and the Phillies lead it 4-2. Alonso, the go-ahead run at the plate. And the lefty's pitch swung on, hit in the air, right field. Harper backing up to the track in front of the wall. He makes the catch with his back against the scoreboard. Game is over, and the Phillies are 4-0 as Pete Alonso flies out to the warning track and right. The Phillies with a come from behind and hold on victory. 5-3, the final.
We'll see if they can do it again tonight. The Mets. Yeah, they managed a way last night to found a way to lose the game. So there you go. Phils are 4-0. Let's go to Dominic in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Dominic!
Yo, guys. How's it going?
Yo!
What's up, Dominic?
Oh, man. So, you know, first things first, I do agree with Jack, you know, about the lineup tonight. You know, I also agree with Jack, though, on the Mystery 100 for Wilt Chamberlain. So, you know, I don't know how much that speaks for itself. So.
That's all positive, John!
Mm-hmm.
But no, I mean, I think last night with the Phillies, you saw some things once again where it shows team chemistry. You know, when Bryce got hit with the pitch, he looked back at his buddy JT and said, "It's your turn now. Let's keep this thing rolling." You saw it in one of the shots on the TV broadcast. His eyes just meet JT's. He looked back after he got hit. I don't know if you guys caught that.
Yep.
And there's just a different feeling about the chemistry of this team under Girardi, and it's really starting to get exciting. I know it's four games in the season, Ike, and I know I said World Series yesterday. I blacked out with excitement. You know, I took a step back from that, you know, after last night. But I do think that this team is really something to start, like, talking about right now. What do you think about that?
Listen, Dominic, I agree with you. I think you have every right to be excited about the team. I'm excited about the team. This is a sort of a self-preservation type of deal with me. I'm not trying to talk anybody into anything. You can go and have as much fun and excitement as you want to. I'm just saying for me, I'm going to be a little more slow to the party. And when I get there, I'm the life of the party once I get there. But I'm going to be late arriving to the party, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with not being out first and proclaiming that the Phillies are going to the playoffs and they're the best team in baseball. I'm okay. I'll let everybody else have that, and I'll sit back and just enjoy the Phillies as the season goes along.
All right, I can respect that. Like, yeah. I got you. But here's the Sirianni point I had.
Yeah, okay.
You know, it was a lot like 2016 with Doug. You know, I'm starting to hear a lot of the same things from fans, like, oh, he just sounds clueless, this and that. And yeah, of course, some of his drops are weird, you know. But it definitely seems like this guy is going to bring some energy and a change to this team. And I think we should get behind him and be excited about it. I think he knows what he's doing. Mm. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
Right on, Don.
Remember what we did with Doug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the energy thing is important, too, because, like, didn't it seem like that Doug just didn't have the same energy that maybe he once did? not a lot of energy last year. I know when things go poorly that it can feel like that, but I mean it just not a lot of energy from the team at all last year, really, from either side of the
ball.
I mean,
I think they start off 0-2 or 0-2-1. Like, I don't think they won their first game until the fourth week.
Yeah,
it was in San Francisco.
Yeah, that was the first win. You're right.
Yeah, it was the first win of the season. It was just a bad season. I mean, they didn't have a chance to get any momentum or any energy or anything going. You get off to a 17-0 start. We all thinking, oh, we're back rolling. And you lose, 37? Well, I don't even remember what the final score was in that Washington game opening week. But I don't think they scored again after they were up 17-0.
Yeah, and you just kept waiting for them to be like, all right, start playing again, guys. Score some points, and it didn't happen.
No, I mean, 28-17? No, I don't even forget about the score. It's the way it ended, the way that game ended, how it carried into the following week and everything else. I don't know what was going on behind the scenes. Only they know. I wasn't there. But that team did not look like they were all in. You got Jason Peters asking for a new contract to move over to a new position. You got Zach Ertz complaining about his contract 2 days before the season, like before the first game. Like, it was a lot of stuff. Lane Johnson gets ankle surgery a week before the first game. Like, it's a lot of stuff that was going on behind. Andre Dillard breaks his hand. It was like so much stuff going on. They didn't seem like they were locked in. And I think this is where I think Doug's approach as a coach might have hurt them. Doug is a coach who needs to coach from the front. And what I mean by that is he's better when the team is playing well. And I understand how they came back in 18 and 19. But was that really true? Was that due to Doug? Right? We try to give Doug a lot of that credit because it's hard for us to explain. No, they were able to do in 2018 what they did was because Nick came in. He was healthy. He gave a jolt of energy to the rest of the team who was looking forward. Also, there was issues behind the scene with Wentz and players at that time who was split that they wanted Nick in there as the quarterback versus a hampered, injured Carson Wentz who was trying to fight and gut to win his locker room back. You had that going on in 2018. And then in 2019, Doug didn't do anything. That was Wentz down the stretch.
Yeah, pretty much.
That was Wentz down the stretch, getting them in, coupled with the schedule they were playing. So last year, Doug didn't have, in my opinion, true cachet built up with these guys to where they responded to him. Because why wouldn't they respond to him?
Right.
Why didn't they respond to him last year?
Yeah, maybe they didn't respond to him those previous years. It was just circumstance that ended up working out for him.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. It was just the circumstances that happened to work out for him. That's what it was. And that's why he couldn't pull him out of it last year.
Nope. Not even close. 27-17 against the Washington football team. And then remember that we was like, all right, not a big deal. They'll come back there at home. Tough game against the Rams. The Rams came in. They rolled over them. Remember that? I mean, I think it was like they scored. I forget how many points.
Well, you had the Miles Sanders fumble, first play of the game.
Yeah.
Wentz threw the interception when they were in scoring position twice, I believe.
That was when Doug called the throw unacceptable.
Yeah.
To Jay Jaw in the
exactly.
End zone.
That's when you start going downhill. Started off the first week trying to explain the opening game. Quarterback holding on to the ball too long. Threw an interception. Everybody out here is clapping like, yeah, way to hold him accountable, Doug. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, oh, he throwing people under the bus? We're throwing people under the bus now? Is that what we're doing?
24-19, the Eagles kick a field goal to get it to within 20-19, and then the Rams score two touchdowns end the game.
Yeah, and remember, whatchamacallit, Jared Goff started off like 13 for 13.
Yeah,
in that game. Like, they couldn't get to him, couldn't get any pressure on him.
Play action, yeah. They were changing directions. Higbee had three touchdowns in that game. That's right. Yeah, and then they just ran all over him at the end. Yeah. So, yeah, and then from there, that's where you have the tie. I mean, the Cincinnati game seemed later in the season to me. So that was only the third week of the season. So
we thought that was going to be our first win.
You get a tie, then you go in, you beat a bad backup quarterback in San Francisco, but you're still telling yourself everything's all right. And then you really battle against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. You battle against Baltimore. You have a chance to win both of those games. Then you beat the Giants. You beat the Cowboys. That was the Ben DiNucci game. So now we're thinking, hey, 3-4-1. Got you know, playing better. And then coming out of the bye week was just where it went.
It was terrible. I don't know what happened during that bye week. I'm imagining conversations happened during that bye week. Right? And it came out of the bye week, and Wentz wouldn't throw the ball down the field.
What?
Remember that against the Giants?
But you remember everybody's what happened in the Dallas game?
I know. That's what I'm saying. After that bye week, there must have been conversations.
Protect the football.
Well, he came out checking down everything.
Yep.
The offense looked flat. He never looked the same
after that.
Yep. Never looked the same.
No, you're right.
Never looked the same.
The bye week ended up being the death of the team.
And the team never looked the same.
Nope.
Until when Jalen got in, they got a little spark.
Yeah, you're right.
Same thing with Nick. You get a little spark. It doesn't mean Doug all of a sudden had the locker room and everybody was buying in.
No, clearly not. Let's go to Mike and Manioc. Mike, what do you got? How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for my call.
Hi, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
No, just one quick shout-out to you, Ike. I saw an article that they're doing a past and present Eagles who should be game show hosts, and you got a big spread there.
I did?
Where was this?
Yeah.
Whatever happened, Ike Reese?
Yeah, it was. They were saying Kelsey, then they were saying, I think, Trey Thomas, and then they mentioned you. I was like, one of the smartest guys you talk to in the locker room and stuff.
A game show host?
Who wrote this?
Yeah, what game show would I be hosting?
It
was Ruben Frank.
It was Rube?
Look at Rube.
Look at Rube.
Yeah. So, but good.
Rube! That's my guy, Rube. That's my guy.
I just wanted to talk about the draft really quick. With what they're saying now with, you know, the trades and stuff, and now they interviewed, Najee saying that, you know, Waddle's going to be the next Tyreek Hill. Do we go there? Do we, you know, I think we need to shore up that second cornerback spot, but is Surtain going to be there? What do you guys think?
Yeah.
I think they're going defense. I tell you, depending on who falls to them, I don't know. But I believe they want an end or a corner. That's just – my belief, but who knows what they're going to do? I don't know what the hell they're doing. I don't know what they're going to do.
I agree with you.
I can just tell you what I would do.
I mean, just the philosophy of the Eagles has always been defensive end on the line or corner. Twitter question brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. When you shop for the diamond engagement ring of your dreams, buy from the home team at Mark's Jewelers in Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania. Online, mark-jewelers.com. What is the best part of this Phillies team? The offense, the starting staff, or the bullpen? A very evenly split poll here, Jack. 36% say bullpen, 34% say offense, 30% say the starting staff.
Yeah, I just wanted to see how people were feeling about the bullpen after four games.
That'd be great.
Like how high people were on this bullpen. Because obviously people hated last year's bullpen, rightfully so.
Well, yeah, they're terrible. How's the 08 offense doing so far this year, Jack?
Listen, the bats are a little cold at the beginning of the season. I mean, 08, we all remember Pat Burrell was the only one that was hitting the beginning of that year, him and Utley. So, I mean, it's not hitting season yet.
I did not remember that. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, I did not remember that either.
Really?
No.
No, I watched the 08 video.
The yearbook, yeah.
Yeah, before opening day. So I got to, you know.
Good for you.
Get yourself ready.
I teared up again. You know, I was watching. they read the article the game the day after they won from the Philadelphia. I think from the Inquirer.
Yeah.
And like they're all going through it, and they're just like, I just brought all the feels back.
I actually still have the paper.
Yes, it was.
Do you really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
That's cool.
Oh yeah, I had to keep that first championship during my time here. I had to grab
most people's life.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, and the newspapers were still actually a thing in 08.
Yeah. Hell
so,
yeah.
So I was actually still getting the daily news and reading it. So you had to make sure I got the, what do they call it? The collectible.
They probably came out with a collectible edition.
Whichever one that was the next day. Yeah, I made That's sure awesome. I grabbed it. Storage. Got the Eagles one too.
As far as what game show you would like to host, what would it be? Because I know Aaron Rodgers is.
Oh, for me, it would be. I mean, I got to go
make
with
a deal.
I got to go with either Family Feud or I got to go with Wheel of Fortune.
So Wheel of Fortune, all right. I could see you doing Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Well, what Rube wrote about you in the write-up as to why you should host Jeopardy, he wrote, when he was a rookie in 1998, I would go up to Ike's locker and just bring up a random topic, the government of Uruguay, the Battle of Bull Run, Hegel's theory of dialectical materialism, and he instantly began speaking like an expert. Nobody knows more stuff about more stuff than Ike, and he'd be right in his element hosting Jeopardy. Agree or disagree?
Appreciate that, Rube.
I had no idea that you knew.
My goodness, for Ike.
Are you holding out on us with all this knowledge of these other things, Ike? Goodness.
What would you say was the key element of the Battle of Bull Run?
Right.
Here's the thing I'll tell you. I'm with Rube all the way up until he starts describing the things that I know about. Everything else in there is exactly right. He and Mark Echo would come back to my locker, myself, Mike Caldwell, and we just talk sports.
You guys like to talk.
Oh, man, just talk sports, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger, man. It just did, yeah. I don't know what – that's just Rube being Rube. He knew I would read that. What the hell? The government of
– You're
Yeah, I'm out. The Battle of the Bull Run?
No. NBA, yes. Draft, yes.
That's my guy.
215-592-9494.
Man, I'm smarter than I even thought I was.
Yeah, you didn't even remember how smart you were. You forgot. You forgot more than I know, Ike. I could, like, let's make a deal. Could you do with Monty Hall and Wayne Brady? Like, you can have what's underneath this box, or you can have.
Oh, yeah, I like you. Let's make a deal.
Is that the one with
the girls with the briefcases?
Yes. No, that's deal or no deal.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, sometimes they would have a briefcase. They'd be like, would you like, here's $200, or would you like what's behind the box there? There'd be a bunny rabbit underneath the box, and people would be mad. I could see you doing that. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-9494. Larry Anderson, we've been blessed to have Larry on the last couple of years for a weekly hit during Philly season, and it starts coming up next. What are his early season takeaways? Is he buying into this Phillies bullpen? And so much more. And your chance to win $1,000. Larry Anderson and your chance to win $1,000. That sounds good to me. Marks and Reese on 94 WIP. Hey, listen, new BetMGM customers can turn $1 into $100 when someone hits a dinger. That's right. Sign up for the BetMGM app using code MARKS100. And if you place a $1 moneyline wager on the Phillies or Mets, you'll get an additional $100 if either team hits a home run. And after the final out, there's no reason to leave your seat. Discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection builders, daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and much more. So download the app or you can go to BetMGM.com. Use bonus code MARKS100 to win $100 when you wager on the Phillies or Mets and either team hits a home run. Swing for the fences with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks.